Wake up. It's the Morning Motivation with Brittany Daniel. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Friday. Thank God it is Friday. Good grand rising. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night to all my international watchers. Good morning and welcome to Morning Motivation. I am your host, Brittany Daniel. I hope you guys are blessed and doing well today. I hope that you guys are excited for the weekend. For those of you who have to work on the weekend, that is okay. It is still Friday. It's still a beautiful and blessed day. We are on the fifth and final pillar to the 555 Transformation, which is my group coaching, well, individual and group coaching course, which my first group is going through, and I'm going to miss them so much when they graduate on May 5th. And the next class or the next session goes live May 16th. But the fifth pillar we have in the 555 transformation is relationships. Now, just not romantic relationships, but, you know, sibling relationships, parents relationships, romantic ones as well, friendships and all of the above, because relationships make up 80% of our happiness, according to research. So we want to make sure that we are doing everything necessary to have the best relationships that we can have. So we're going to talk about it today. We're going to get into the morning prayer. I'm going to give you guys a shout out. So if you guys are new, go ahead and put it in the chat where you're watching from. Go ahead and put in your good morning shout out so I can shout you out. And you guys, do not forget to give this video a thumbs up. Like every time we go live, when you come in, if you could do me a huge favor and just make sure you thumbs up these videos. Make sure you guys are subscribed so you don't miss a single upload. Hit that notification bell so it alerts you every single weekday at 8 a.m. And then if I post anything else, you guys can see those videos too. But it really tells the YouTube algorithm that you guys are enjoying the content, that you guys are morning motivators, and to push it out to as many people as possible. So I would really appreciate that. But before we jump into it, let's go ahead and say our morning prayer. Yeah. So dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for waking us up for another day. I pray for peace, blessings, abundance, rest, healthy, solid relationships for all watching and that will all listen even later. Relationships are one of the number one things that you placed us here to do and to have. So we pray for just committed, loyal, just boundary setting relationships. In your darling son, Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. So, and if you are not religious or spiritual, I hope that it is okay that I prayed for you anyway. Y'all, I got my tea. Still on my detox journey, the detoxing all the toxins out as well. And we talked about health yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day? No, it was the day before yesterday. We talked about health. So we're on the road to being healthier, to being glowier inside and out. So I hope you guys are doing well. Let's go to the shout outs. Let's see. Good morning, Destiny. Good morning, Veronica. Veronica said, these morning motivations have been getting me together for the past month. I'm super excited. I'm super happy that you are enjoying. Good morning, Madame Noir. Good morning, Felicia. Good morning, such a lady. Good morning, Nana. Good morning, She Amber. Happy Friday. Good morning, Brandy. Good morning, Being Meech. Happy Friday, Turquoise. Happy Friday. Good morning. Happy Friday, Brittany. Good morning, Danica. I'm super excited that you guys are here today. I want you guys to chime in on this topic for real, because relationships, it seems like no matter what, relationships are just something that we constantly have to deal with. They're constantly evolving. Good morning, Cooking with Raw. They're constantly growing, expanding. And as you grow, as you become a more enlightened person or whatever journey you're on, whether it be a financial journey, whether it be a spiritual journey, whether it be a self-love journey, all relationships are completely different. You know, they evolve. Let's just start off with friendships. So friendships are something that I hold near and dear to my heart. I definitely believe that we should try our best to cultivate loving, boundary respecting friendships. And if you guys have any questions about any of these subtopics with relationships, or you guys have any questions, please put them in the chat and I'll go ahead and answer them. But I'm super proud to say that I have really cultivated really genuine friendships. Have I been perfect in the past with friendships? Absolutely not. Have I had all the perfect relationships? Absolutely not. Good morning. There are some there are some people throughout this journey of life that we've either grew apart, parted ways, I've hurt, they've hurt me, you know, but it's imperative that we have these conversations, that we continue to strive to be the best people that we can be, to not only expect people to show up for us and expect people to be great friends to us and be there at our every beck and call, which I don't think is a friendship really. But that you're also exuding those qualities, you know, you're also showing up for people. You're also being there with healthy boundaries, of course, you know, with healthy boundaries. I definitely believe that, you know, friendships are held at, I wouldn't necessarily say a different standard. I would say, in my personal opinion, that they're a lot more flexible. However, the respect boundary on all levels in all of my relationships, whether it be with siblings, parents, I believe that respect boundary across the board, especially me in my life. You know, I'm an adult now. I'm not a teenager. I don't live in nobody's house. Me and mine, we take care of our bills and our business. So like when we were growing up, they said, well, you want to do what you want to do. You got to get your own. Got it. So I definitely make sure that, including my parents, that there are healthy respect boundaries in place for all parties involved in my life, because that's my boundary. So I challenge you to really think about that. Are there areas in life, or are there certain relationships that you may let your boundaries slide for one person that you won't necessarily let slide for somebody else? Like maybe your mom can talk to you crazy out the side of her neck, but your significant other can't. Or, you know, of course, your friends can't and things like that. So what's that line for you? Where are your boundaries drawn? And for me, they're across the board. I cannot, I can't. There's just something about it. I believe now that I'm at an age, not when I was younger, of course, you know, when you're a kid and you're at the house and you're living in, or you're, you know, living in under other people's homes that they take care of and that they pay for, sometimes you're subjected to their rules, their regulations, and their treatment, unfortunately. But as being adults, as being on our own, what are those boundaries for you? What boundaries do you expect from your friends? What are your expectations from friends? For me, my expectations are just to be genuine. Hopefully, when I call you, that if you have time, that you answer the phone or that you get back to me. I do not believe in one-sided friendships whatsoever. So if I see, if I'm the one constantly pouring into the relationship and you don't show up for me, then I'll draw back. Not to say that I'll stop being your friend or I won't be there. I will give it less energy. Let's say that my expectations for you will be very low. And then I have my compartment of friendships. Like I know who to hang out with when it's hangout time. I know who to talk business with. I know who to pray with. I feel like sometimes people they may have one or two friends. So they put all their expectations or all their eggs in that friendship basket. Let me know if you guys are the same way, or how are you guys with your friendships? They'll put all their expectations in the same friends basket and expect their friends to give them everything that they're giving. And I feel like there's time and a place for everything and everybody. But with your friendships, how do you show up for that person? How do they honor you and show up for you? Is it one-sided or is it a two-way street type of situation? Friendships are sometimes the one relationship or the relationships that are the best in our lives. You know, maybe we don't have a significant other. Maybe our relationship with our family is not as strong, but our friends are our family, are the ones that we go to and that support us and that are there for us. And for some people, friendships are not their strong suit. They're just like, I got one, that solid one, and then that's it. But I really encourage, as we get older, as we evolve as women, as you tap into different aspects of yourself, that you make different bonds and different relationships along the way. It is harder as we get older to a certain extent. But I feel like when you go into a friendship or when you meet somebody and you don't have necessarily high expectations for what it can be, you just kind of let it be, keep in touch and let it evolve over time, you know, hang out when you hang out, do, you know, see each other when you can or make time for one another. But when you make time for that person and you get together and you talk and you have that one-on-one time, I feel like that's when the relationship can bloom and blossom over time. And I've cultivated adult female friendships, and they're beautiful, you know, because they're not the same as my childhood friends, but we've connected on a different playing field for where I am now versus who I used to be. You know, I've had somebody tell me, you know, when they met me in college that I changed. I'm not the same person I used to be, that they wish I was that same person. And I had to disappoint them and say, you know, I haven't been that person in years. I don't even know who that person is anymore. So our friendship inevitably just slowly fell apart. And I see your comments. Thank you so much. I will say this, though. Allow people to leave your life if you no longer serve them, right? Or if they no longer serve you in any aspect, if they once felt a way about you and they no longer feel that same way, or the connection is gone, it's okay to go your separate ways. It's okay to evolve and move past that. It's okay to not take it personal and let that person move on with their lives. It does suck. It does hurt, especially if they were like a best friend. But that's just a part of life. That's just the evolution of life. That's how we grow and we, matriculate on in life, and we keep evolving. So try your best not to take it personal. It is very hard when somebody no longer wants to love you in that capacity anymore, but it is okay to evolve. Let that person go. Let that person thrive, because you don't want to hold anybody else back in life. You know, you want them to be ultimately happy. You want them to go thrive and be the best version of themselves. And sometimes that just doesn't have us a part of it. So really think about your friendships and do a little evaluation of who's in your circle. What do you depend on them for? And what aspects do they bring to your life? Because if they don't bring anything to your life, you might have to reevaluate that as well. She Amber says, yes, my circle is very small, but I'm okay with that for now. I love that. The only reason why I encourage women to have a bigger circle is because every friend doesn't have to be the friend that you tell everything to, right? Those are your day ones. Those are your solid, loyal, tried and true friends. And then you go out in the world and you make other connections, whether it be business connections, whether it be just to go out and catch a drink, because we all need our girl time. You know, when we're in relationships, when we're being, you know, girlfriends, and some of you guys are moms and some of you guys are wives, that it is imperative, y'all. Girl time is necessary. You know, because we can get so wrapped up in our honeys and our significant others that, you know, we no longer take time for ourselves. We no longer take time away from them and have some girl chit chat. So I encourage just to get out a little bit, networking events, like-minded women, you know, pay attention to what kind of conversations those women are having, pay attention to what they pay attention to. But as I've grown and evolved, I've been just attracting great and dope women into my life. And don't forget, you are who you attract and you are who you allow into your life. So I always say be open if possible. Vernell says, hey, everybody, you don't pull all your eggs in one bank on no one. And you shouldn't have exceptions for anyone. The exception should only be on you. God is the only best kind you put everything in. I love that. So Vernilla is saying, hey, you don't put all your eggs in one basket or with anybody. And I agree to that. You don't want all of your hopes and your dreams and your desires and yourself into one person necessarily, or two people, because they can, what if they disappoint you? What if they hurt you? And I know that this is being pessimistic about the situation, but as much as I love my honey, he is not my sun, moon, rise and shine and fall. And yeah, our relationship is fairly new, so it might be different 10 years down the line. But, you know, as people grow and evolve, I feel like people are still human. People are still with error, with flaws. So I try to make sure that I have a life outside of, you know, our situation. Even when even when we're married, I want to definitely maintain my friendships and definitely maintain everything else that I have going on. And even if it has to scale back a little bit, because, you know, when you're a wife, there are different things and different expectations, but I definitely feel that everybody should have a social circle. And I see my married friends who make time to go on girls trips, who make time to go hang out with their friends, who make time for themselves. They'll leave the baby with the dad and do them, or they'll leave the baby with the grandparents and they'll go off and do their own thing. And in my personal opinion, those women are a lot happier, a lot fuller. They have more to talk about. And not to bash anybody, but they just live life a little differently. So I just challenge, if you can and you have that luxury, to just have some girl time. You know, hey, let's meet up for coffee. Let's meet up for some drinks. Let's talk. Let's get that out. Let's connect. Because especially us women, man, we need each other. And I know some people have been burnt by other women. I know people, relationships haven't been 100% solid with other women. Let me know your experiences in the comments. Have you guys had good relationships with friends? Have you had bad relationships? But I can say that, man, if it wasn't for my friends sometimes, you know, because they're there regardless if the relationship is there or not. They're there when you got money or you don't, when your hair is done or it ain't, you know, when you're perfect or imperfect. Your friends are the ones who show up for you no matter what sometimes, and no matter what the circumstance is. And it does get harder as we get older, because everybody has a life. Everybody's juggling children, husband, work, side hustle, business, you know, and we don't get to catch up and spend as much time together as we would like to. But it's extremely important to culture and nurture those relationships. So think about it. When's the last time you text or called your friend? When's the last time you checked on your friends? When's the last time you've said, hey, let's link up and go out to lunch, or let's link up and go to dinner. Let's link up and get some coffee or have some drinks. You know, I love chit chat over some wine, you know, and things like that. So what ways and what aspects have you been the friend that you would like in your life? What aspects, or how have you shown up for your friends, or gone the extra mile? And I get that it could be hard for some. I get that y'all's schedules can be crazy, but we have to make time for what we want in our lives. You know, we are the creators of our lives, right? We are the, us and God are the creators of our lives. So if we only come home, we only go to work, come home, we don't make time for hobbies, we don't make time for friends, we don't make time for romance and all that other stuff, then in all actuality, it's on us. It might not be the season for it, but we can't go but for so long without that other human connection. You know, if the only person you talk to is your child, which is okay, but you're going to miss that adult time, you know, not catering your relationships to children. Because you all know when children are around, you can't let your hair down sometimes the way you would want to, or you can't talk about certain things the way you would want to that you can talk about with your girlfriends, or, you know, catch up in that way. So really think about it. Like, when is the last time you reached out and said, hey, let's put something on the calendar? It might not be this week. It could be next week, 2 weeks from now. Maybe it's once a month that you go and see your friends. But I really challenge everybody. I think it's extremely crucial that we make time for the people that we love. We make time for the people that we care about, and that we make time, because we don't want to put our heads down and we're work, 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 family, 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 relationship, personal relationship. And we look up and we have nobody else. I feel like, because relationships make 80% of our lives, and let's call a spade, as much as we love our significant others, we have no idea. You know, I don't know. My friendships have outlasted all my relationships. I'll just say that. And not to be, again, a pessimist, but our female relationship, or our friendships, because they don't always necessarily have to be female, but our friendships are extremely, extremely important. Happy Friday, Sydney. Happy Friday says, yes, y'all, totally agree. Time is important. Watering all of your relationships is important. I love that. Watering them, nurturing them, and all of that. So let's jump into sibling relationships. Now, if you're an only child, let me know in the comments. This is a area that has been depending. Okay, so I have multiple siblings. I have a little brother. I have two little sisters and an older sister. So every relationship is very different. and the one I was closest to the most, I'm no longer closest to. So as you evolve, as you get older, as you set your own boundaries, as people go through different stages and things in their life, right? Your relationships can change. I even know some friends who have really bad relationships with their siblings because either jealousy from how they grew up, meaning like, oh, this child was favored more, or which is unfortunate because the only person that can control that is the parent. But somehow it trickles down onto the children. Only child crew over here. Woo. And I grew up as an only child most of my life, which is interesting. I have siblings, but I've grown up as an only child most of my life. When I was about, I didn't have a sibling until I was 8 years old. So I grew up only child. And then when I was 10, my stepfather got custody of his kids, or of him and my mom's kids. So I went to be the only child again. And then my youngest sister didn't come until I was 16, 17. So I was leaving the house. So I pretty much grew up as an only child. I'm an only child with my mother, but I have other siblings with our fathers. And you know what's interesting? Because we know that every family wasn't mom, dad, that was it, right? And I was talking to my older sister about this, as how it's unfortunate that men, when they were out here making all these babies and they were out here having all these relationships, and depending on your family dynamic, that they didn't really think about how that affects the downline, the lineage, and how disconnected we can be because of those family dynamics. So any men that are on here watching their watch now or watch later, really think about that before y'all go start spreading your seed out and being fruitful and multiplying and all that that y'all want to do or say that you're doing, because you might be okay with the dynamic. You might be okay with having multiple baby mamas. You might be okay with, you know, hurting people and doing whatever you're doing and having kids here and here and here. But what you guys fail to realize sometimes is those sibling dynamics, you know, you really break, sometimes you can break, it can go either way. You know, it can go really well. Like me and my older sister, we have different moms. Our relationship is really solid. But I've seen in my own family, not my immediate family, but, you know, grandparents and things like that, how men having separate families, or, you know, having babies with multiple people, how that really affects the cousins and your lineage. You know, your lineage isn't as click tight as it could be, because everybody's kind of disconnected in their own worlds, doing their own thing. So just a food for thought, men that are watching this, live. And it's not just on men either, but y'all control that aspect. In my personal opinion, y'all control who you're with and who you know, shooting the club up with and who you're planting seeds with. And, you know, I think that that's a conversation that we don't have enough in our community, is how, by people being selfish, by people doing what they want to do, and men, you know, out here just doing whatever, that you don't even, sometimes the siblings don't get a chance to make that solid bond, or, you know, their children don't get to grow up with their cousins because everybody's all over the place, or there's animosity, or, you know, maybe this mother doesn't like this mother. So y'all never get to go and get your brother and sister time. So when you have children, your children's children don't get to connect and link up. I think that that was something that was really missing. And especially in my family, I can say that. Amber says, hold on. Oops, I skipped some. Sorry, she Amber, I'm gonna go back. Cooking with Raw says, me and my older brother don't have a relationship at all. We have nothing in common. We don't talk. And it's very unfortunate. I'm so sorry. And I don't know that dynamic. It is, and it's hard. You know, me and my older sister had to have a conversation like, hey, you know, sometimes I feel left out, because she has older sisters and they all have the same mother. And I was like, y'all can invite me sometimes. You know, I know when y'all get together, like, I know I'm the little sister that's the oddball out. You know, we're not connected with the mother, but we kind of share the father. So what about me? I'm the little one over here. And, you know, and that dynamic can be a little crazy too, because if you were used to being the youngest, like my older sister was the youngest, and then I came along, you know, and I was outside the family. You know, my dad had me while he was married to her mother. And so it was just like, you know, so those dynamics are very interesting and it can be very, very challenging at times. But we're, thank God, we're great. But there were there was a time where we didn't know each other and we had to cultivate that. So I pray that that relationship gets better for you, Cooking with Raw, because our siblings are important to us. And I don't have the best relationship with all my siblings, you know, as my youngest sibling grows and she's learning herself and she's a teenager now, you know, we bump heads a lot. And I pray that that relationship heals itself because we used to be extremely close, but you know, there, you go through ebbs and flows in relationships, especially sibling to sibling. That can be a tough one. That could be a very tough one. Vernell says, and make sure if you can help it, only be with one person having a child because you never know. But if your children don't know each other, it can take others take that. They could end up dating each other. You know what, Vernell? I've heard about this. Okay, especially people that live in smaller towns. Yeah, this is something we have to be careful with because I heard about somebody having a baby with her cousin and not knowing it. And there was like, I was watching the show. It was super weird where they were neighbors and they grew up and they started liking each other. And the dad was like, no, y'all can't be together. Y'all don't like each other. Instead of him just confessing and saying, hey, I slept with both of your parents. You guys are siblings. Instead of just being honest, he was just like, no, you can't be together. They ran away and eloped and they found out that they were siblings. Gross. It was a show, so I can say this. They found out they were siblings by both of them getting like an illness at the same time or something. It was really weird. It was on, it was like a little clip. It was like Bones or something, some show. And that was just crazy. Instead of the father just being honest and being like, hey, you guys are siblings, or just letting them know from a young age, they grew up liking each other. And I've heard though in real life about this. Is especially if you're from small towns, you're from the same cities and stuff like that, how, you know, people can end up dating each other and you don't want that for your children. So please be careful out here. Woo, that could be traumatizing for real. Literally can affect the child to, literally can affect the child to grow up with daddy issues and even mentally affecting the woman as well. How she sees men, but we have to do better for real with things happening like this. Yeah, I agree. It does affect us in more ways than one. But I will say from my personal purview, and you guys can tell me what you guys think about this, 9 times out of 10, it's the man. Yes, the woman plays a part in having a child with the man. But normally the woman wants to be with the man. The woman listens to the lies or believes the lies. And she doesn't know sometimes that they're lies. And not to say that women aren't smart, not to say women don't make the choice. And I can't put this all on women. I really, let's call a spade, and it's not a man bashing session at whatsoever, but most of the dynamics that I know wasn't because the woman left and she went and had babies with other people. It was the man doing him. I was the only grandchild on my dad's side until I was almost 11. Yeah. So, you know, or they are siblings. That is disgusting. Could you imagine loving somebody or following somebody? And that's your sibling. That's your brother, your half brother. Child. Ooh. I was the favored child and didn't realize how selfish and bratty I was. My sister told me how the way she was treated affected her. We have always been close and she always protected me well. That is beautiful. And unfortunately, when it comes to the one that's favorited, like Laura Lee said, they don't know that they're being favored. Does that make sense? So if anybody on here has that dynamic with their sibling, I would really encourage a conversation. I would really encourage them to put, you know, whatever hurt or feelings they have to the side and have this conversation, because the favorited child probably doesn't know. And parents, if you have children, that does affect. I know grown people that are still going through sibling rivalry because of being the favorite or being treated different. So please be careful and pay attention to that, because you might think you're not doing anything wrong and you may be unaware of it, but it does affect that dynamic growing up. Thank God Laura Lee didn't have a negative effect and her sister still protected her. But some of my friends were the favorites and they don't get along at all. And the mother is never held accountable. You know, the parents are never held accountable in those circumstances for certain reasons. It just the siblings end up beefing about it. Or the siblings end up feeling a way about it because for whatever reason, the parents are just oblivious to the treatment that they give their parents. So hopefully, or their children. So hopefully we can learn from this conversation and just be very mindful of that, because people are unaware. They only go through life in their bubble. And you can have kids in the same household and everybody can have a different experience. I have 3 siblings with my mom and dad, and I have over 10 siblings from my dad's side. I know 4 of them. Oh, no. And see, these men have no idea how, like, you know, I'm sorry. That's unfortunate. I apologize for her for any part I played, for making her feel less than. And unfortunately, Laura Lee, you had no clue 9 times out of 10. And that's the thing the trickiness of parenting. So I hear is that, you know, you really don't know the mistakes you made until way older. But now that we're having these conversations and you guys can see how this is affecting the collective, you know, maybe we can be more mindful of those relationships. Maybe we can be more cognizant of our actions and the things that we do. Maybe this conversation will, implore people to maybe think about things differently. Good morning, mini millionaire. Sydney says, I have friends whose dads left their families and started other families in other cities, and there's so much hurt and animosity there. Absolutely. That's like the most heartbreaking thing, because then kids grow up with like, well, what's wrong with us? Why weren't you here for me? Like, what's wrong with me? Why didn't you stay with us? You know, and that's unfortunate when that happens. But yes, men, you got to be more careful and cognizant. I hope my men are on here today listening. Because having multiple families, again, might be cool for you, but it really does affect and trickles down. And I will challenge women to do this as well. When you know a man has maybe two women already that have his children, maybe not. There's no right way to say this. We want to try to not be number 3. Because everybody's different, but 9 times out of 10, he might end up repeating the same patterns, because it takes men a little longer, in my personal opinion, to do a self-reflection, to sit there and say, you know what? I have bad ways. I need to get me together. It takes men a little longer. Like women, we can be a little bit more self-aware. We're more emotional, but we have been proven to be the more intelligent species when it comes to growth and development. We develop a lot quicker. So I won't say intelligent in that way, but science has shown that women mature faster. We come to things a little quicker. So most men, when they're out here having all these families, it doesn't really hit them that they've done anything wrong until later in life, or until their children don't want to talk to them, or they have issues. And some men don't ever come to terms or grow up and understand how they've hurt people. You know, because hurt people. And depending on their dynamic and their situation and how they grew up, their self-love, their growth on themselves will determine a lot. So again, we got to watch patterns when we're choosing these men, right? If you already have 2 women with 2, you know, sets of kids, and you're not, for whatever reason, present, able to be, whatever the case may be, we want to try our best not to be number 3. We want to try our best to learn from the situations that have already taken place and transpired, because it's not about the women that you're dealing with. You have to now worry about your children not knowing their siblings for whatever reason. You know, those dynamics can be very, very strong. hold on. Such a lady said, you spoke the truth, exactly how my life went growing up. And that's so unfortunate. We didn't choose, and I think we didn't choose those lives. You know what I mean? We didn't choose to not have our fathers in our household or not have our siblings grow up to us. Like I would have loved to grow up with all my siblings. And then what happens is when we grow up without our siblings, now we're forced in our adulthood to get to know each other, to learn each other. We don't have memories. We don't have Christmas memories. We don't have, you know, all the memories we could have had. Now we have to like awkwardly figure out our dynamic as we get older. So it's very unfortunate, but I'm glad we're having this conversation. I'm the responsible sibling. Everything is always on me. Were you oldest cooking with Raw? And that's the thing too, y'all, the older siblings. And I can say that put that middle child to work. I know the middle child can be a little lackadaisical a little bit, maybe not as aware as the oldest child, because the oldest child had to always be the responsible one. But if you were the oldest, you understand that pressure. You understand, I was my mom's oldest, my dad's youngest. You understand how it is when you are responsible for other lives that you did not create. You know, and I get it. You know, if you're the oldest one, you're supposed to look out for your siblings. I understand all that. But what happens is all the responsibility can go on the oldest sibling, and that middle sibling just gets to like, whatever, you know, challenge that middle sibling to also be that for, you know, the younger ones, and challenge the younger ones. You know, I know that's your baby. I know that's your little toot toot and all of that, but challenge that youngest child to kind of, you know, do something for themselves a few times, you know, because it's easy to fall into those patterns of you're the oldest, you know, middle child kind of gets ignored a little bit and the youngest gets away with murder. I would try to kind of, you know, because it's not fun being the oldest child. It's really not at all. And I'm sure it's not fun being the middle child either. Bree says 100%. I don't have a good relationship with my dad. I lived with him from 14 to 19 years old, but my dad got remarried. My first year living with him, my stepmom and my dad treated me like trash. Now I'm 21. Oh, I'm so sorry, Bria. I'm so sorry that happened to you. I pray that those dynamics do change. I can say, not that I had that similar thing happen to me, but me and my dad didn't have a great relationship until I was a certain age. And when my dad went to therapy, thank God, hallelujah, and I worked on myself, we ended up healing our relationship maybe a year or two ago. And I'm 33 now, about to be 34. So I would say, although it may be, you know, sucky now, keep praying about it. You know, hopefully you can wish him well somewhere in your heart. Not to say you owe him that at all. But I pray that that relationship heals itself and that you'll be able to have that conversation down the line and be able to express that how he treated you was not correct. But if you choose not to have that relationship, I definitely understand. Oh, that's unfortunate. I barely talk to him anymore. Now he's helping her raise her kids. My blood brother is the favorite child and he doesn't understand the pain and or how I feel. I'm so sorry. And sometimes people are so in their ignorance and they're so in their world that they don't even take time to empathize or hear out, you know, their children or hear out. I'm so sorry that happened to you. That is trash. I'm so sorry. That is horrible. But men, I hope you're taking notes because these are the things that you leave behind when you guys make these decisions and not think about your children and not think about the families you already created. You know, sometimes they can get tunnel vision on, you know, on what they want, which, you know, I get it. You're supposed to put yourself first. But when you have children, you're supposed to at least consider your children. You know, you're supposed to take their, you know, and then unfortunately, the dynamic between the parents has a ripple effect on how the dynamic with the child is sometimes. So that's unfortunate. I'm sorry that happened. Shador says, my husband and I were together for 1 year before we found out our grandmothers were besties in their teenage years. We had to make sure we had no way to be related. I would have died on the spot. Y'all, exactly. Right? Oh, thank God. Because I was your husband at that point. It's just like, dang, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? Ooh, That's why it's important to have a relationship with your parents' family, especially if families have lived in the same state for many generations. Yeah, because if you go to these family reunions, they're huge, man. They're big. Ooh, that's scary. I'm glad, thank God, that worked out. People kill me getting into new relationships and leaving their kids they already have behind. Like, how could you do that? There's dynamics, man, and there's situations for everybody. I know that my mom's wasn't by choice. So I do empathize with a parent who did want to be there and either mentally couldn't or physically couldn't by either law or, you know, bullying, you know, because my mother felt like she was bullied away from her children. So I can see both sides. So it's sometimes not all the time just being left. And the unfortunate factor is we will never know those conversations between two people. You know what I mean? Like, as much as we may really hate some of the decisions our parents made, we have no idea what those dynamics were behind closed doors, how they felt, what was what, you know, how they got together, or none of that, you know, or what that other person felt, or was that other person being very vindictive? And then two, a lot of our parents were very young, not to excuse their behavior. But I'm just now getting to the age of maturity, enlightenment in all aspects to now I feel like, okay, if I had a child now, I would be a well-rounded person to have a child now. 10 years ago when I was like 23, 22, 21, heck no. Heck no. I didn't know myself. I would have made I would have been probably not the best mom because I was still learning and evolving. And when we have kids young and a lot of our parents had us young, not knowing any better, you know, just doing the do. They made a lot of mistakes, a lot of selfish mistakes, a lot of just bad decisions. But then if I put myself in that 20-year-old, 21-year-old, 19-year-old shoes, there's no way I could have raised a child at 19 by myself the way my mom did. Even though she had help from my grandparents, still, like, there's no way I could have done what she did. So I honor her for making that sacrifice and taking care of me to the best of her ability. But that's why we have to do our best to tell our children, you know, and do our best to make different decisions as we get older to not do the same thing. You know, do you understand what I mean? Because it's just a lot. And what we do affects that lineage and that generation. Vernil says, and the ones that parents do not treat them right, you gotta sit down with them and ask them how their childhood was, because parents think that they don't come with a handbook. You demonstrate what you've seen. That's true. Seen in life. Very true, Vernil. Like, unfortunately, 9 times out of 10, if your parents weren't great parents to you, they weren't parented great. Your grandparents probably did a number on them. And again, not to excuse their behavior, not to give them a pass for how you feel, but hurt people hurt people. If you were loved properly, if you were given the best environment or the best situation and your parents were present and they were in their sound mind and body, 9 times out of 10, even if the relationship wasn't the best, your childhood was a little bit more well-rounded. If your parents, you know, disciplined you in a certain way that was trash or did certain things that just weren't right, 9 times out of 10, their parents did the same thing or possibly worse. So when they did not do it to you, they probably felt like, well, I did better than my parents did. I didn't treat you like I was treated. I didn't beat you like I was beat. I didn't, you know, punish you the way I was punished. You know, I loved you more than my parents loved me, because some people's parents never hugged them, kissed them, told them my heart breaks when I hear that people's parents have never told them that they love them. Isn't that crazy? Or told them that they were proud of them or supported them. And going into our relationship with our parents, you know, man, it's a very strange dynamic when it wasn't all the way it probably should have been. If that makes any sense. But thank God we have the choice now, right? As we're growing and maturing, we have to heal from all of that. We have to heal from all of the toxic, crazy stuff through therapy, you know, trauma and therapy and growth and healing is not easy. It's not fun. There are a lot of tears. There are a lot of pain that we have to dig up. But when we dig it up and we deal with it And we try to forgive, not for their sake, but for ours, so we can close that chapter. And when we have children and when we pick the people that we want to have families with, that we can change the dynamic for the next generation. We can break that generational curse. We can make a choice to say, you know what, the way I grew up was horrible. I do not want my children to go through the same thing. And we can make better decisions because we're more self-aware. We know what's what. So hopefully, because of what we went through, we can make the conscious decision to raise our next generation so much better. My husband has a child from a previous relationship, and me and the mom get along great. We go over the holidays and birthdays, and her husband came to our wedding. That is beautiful. I wish that for everybody, because that is amazing. And I think the key, though, in not knowing the situation, she had her own life. She also moved on. You know, it's hard when it's hard to have that dynamic of women coming together and women being able to move on when the man is still peeping over here, peeping over here, peeping over here, peeping over here. You know what I mean? Like your husband, you know, from outside looking in and knowing from your statement, they seem to both have moved on together. And she did her thing, he did his thing, and the respect was probably still there. And that was why that was able to happen. Too many times men want to dibble and dabble. They want to tell this woman one thing and tell this woman. So I love that this dynamic, and it is possible, but both parties have to respect each other, not cross boundaries, and both move on equally. So I love that for you. I'm so happy that that's your dynamic. I'm praying for healing for everyone. Oh, thank you, Sydney. Yes, y'all, I had to go to therapy. Although me and my dad's relationship is amazing now, it was not always like that. Although me and my mother's relationship is better now, it wasn't always like that. And they did the best that they could. I do believe that. But, you know, you know, so I just pray that. And that's why I really waited, by the grace of God too, but why I waited to have children, because I wanted my children to have different. I wanted my children to have the same parents. I wanted all my children to have the same father, because, and although I was open to men with kids, right? I never felt like I couldn't love anybody else's child. Like if my honey would have came with a child, I would have still been with him and still trying to be the best, you know, stepmom I could have been. But my dream was to have both parents in the household with all siblings that had the same, you know, unless I adopted, because that dynamic is a little different. Not to say it's perfect, not to say that your children are going to come out perfect and they're going to have their, that they won't have their issues too. There's no perfect formula. You know, I know parent people that had both parents. There's no perfect formula. There's no quote unquote right way, because you can do it the right way and it still end up, or you can give your kids the world and they can still end up, you know, there is no formula, handbook, or anything to make things perfect. It doesn't work like that. But I did not want to have my children have to go through sibling over here and sibling over here and sibling over here. And not to say, hey, if that's to happen, it's life. You know, I'm sure nobody signed up for that. But, you know, thankfully that as we get older, we can make hopefully decisions for ourselves that the ones that we want, right? Our parents didn't have the resources we have today too. That is very true, Laura Lee. Now you guys have to remember therapy and healing and trauma. All of these are very new words for our culture in our society, especially in the Black community. You know, for the longest, therapy was looked at as, oh, you're crazy if you go to therapy. And some people still don't believe in therapy. Some people still don't believe that we need therapy. And there are trash therapists out there. I was asking my therapist, because I did tell you guys that I wanted to give you guys resources, or when I meet with you guys one-on-one, I want to be able to say, hey, I'm a life coach. I'm not a therapist, but here's a therapist that you could use. And unfortunately, she doesn't even know a whole lot of therapists like her, which is unfortunate. So hopefully this next generation, you know, has therapists. I want to go back to school to get my psychology degree so I can be licensed in that regard, so I can help people in a different way one day down the road. But man, it's just unfortunate that we don't have enough we don't have enough resources now, but there was a time where that resource wasn't a thing. You know, some of our parents and grandparents went to Vietnam War and were in Desert Storm and in the military, and they did a number on them as well psychologically. So Grand Rising Kells World, how are you? Same. I'm 31 and I'm still working on myself. I don't want kids to need healing from their childhood. And unfortunately, Shay, I'm the same way, but you can give your kids the world and that doesn't mean that they're going to end up better. You know, if you can look at a whole bunch of people that were rich, wealthy, and their kids are on drugs. I feel like when you, no matter what, there's always going to be a problem regarding whatever, like kids of celebrities, right? You would think that their lives would be peaches and cream and all of that jazz, but they grow up with a different set of problems. So although they may have not had the problems we had growing up, they grow up with a different set of problems. Like, my parent is a celebrity. I got to deal with people using me. I got to deal with, you know, there's a whole different dynamic. So we would pray that us making this decision will make a better situation, but that's not all the time true. There's no right formula for anything to come out perfect. You know, I wasn't planned. My sister was planned. My little brother was kind of planned. My little sister wasn't planned. Everybody's dynamic in life is different. You know, it really just depends on the choices we make as people, especially growing up. And I hope many millionaires on here, no matter what your parents do, no matter if you know, grow up and you fall out with them or whatever, at the end of the day, we make our decisions for our lives. Even at 16, 17, high school, everything, you know, yeah, our parents probably told us go to school, get good grades, blah, but we made the conscious choice to actually follow through with that. You know, for me, nobody made me go to college. I wanted to go to college. I found college. You know, I applied. I went and got on the bus and went and took my ACT. Nobody helped me through that process. So I made the conscious decision to do what I needed to do to get through school. So you can give your child the world. That doesn't mean that they're still going to have that mindset when they get older. It's all a personal choice after like a certain age. When a kid, especially a girl, hits around 16, she's going to make the decision she wants to make for herself. We just have to inform them that these are your choices at this point. I'm not making you mess up in school. I'm not making you skip school. I'm not making you be out here being all, you know, active, if y'all know what I mean. You are actively choosing and making these choices for your life. So I hope you understand that, because nobody had to tell me. It was just mentally for me. Just, I knew what I wanted as really young. Yeah. Kells World say, cause kids have their own experiences. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no set formula. You can have two parents and be great or not. And you can have one parent and be great or not. You could come from the slums of, and be an amazing person and go out and be a millionaire. And you could come from a rich family and end up on drugs. There is no right way necessarily. It's just all about mindset. Hopefully it's what we instill in this generation and instill in our children and instill in those future generations that will impact their thought process. But at the end of the day, everybody makes a choice at a certain point. You know, people make choices and we just pray that they make good choices, because I'm going to try to give my kids the best, but who's to say that that's what's going to happen? But when it comes to our family dynamics, when it comes to those family relationships, well, we talked about friendships, we've talked about siblings, our family relationships, and those, we want to make sure that we heal those as much as possible. And if you can't heal them with that person, hopefully we can heal them in our own right. Again, sometimes you will never get the sorry you deserve. Sometimes you will never get to say the words or really tell somebody how they made you feel. But we can't wait on them to have an aha moment. We have to heal ourselves, understand that what we went through was trash and jacked up, and try our best to heal ourselves, forgive for ourselves, not for them, but for ourselves, so we can go move on and thrive, because we don't want to hold that resentment in. Because, you know, like I say all the time, you know, holding a grudge is like drinking poison, expecting your enemy to die. So we can't hold all this resentment in for our parents, our siblings, or whomever, and just be so mad. And they're oblivious. They're living their lives. They got their family. They're just da da da. You know, like Ezell on Friday. La da. They just having a good old time. You know. So we have to heal, bust that open, let that go, so we can grow and move on and be the best person for us. Do we have to forget? Absolutely not. Do we have to be like, hey, I forgive you, come back with open arms? Absolutely not. You know, they're going to have to work on mending that relationship if that's something that they want to do. But we have to ensure that we're doing the due diligence for ourselves, not for them, but for ourselves, so we don't carry around that weight, so we can have healthy, loving relationships with the men in our lives who deserve it. And we don't pass that energy down to our children. Because, you know, we don't want to do that. Vernell says, Brittany, you can go back to high school and get your certificate and assist your therapist for the same field, like a nurse practitioner is a doctor. I didn't know. I want my stuff to be legit, but I like that. I'm going to look into that and research and see what I can do. Because that's a good, I didn't know that. But I want to make sure that I have the knowledge and the skill and the background to make sure that I could tell people the right, you know, do it the right way. Because that's why I went and got my life coach certification. I didn't have to. You don't have to be certified to be a life coach. But I felt that it was important. If I'm going to speak into people's lives, if I'm going to help you through your goals and the situation, the things that you have now, I wanted to have the knowledge behind myself. I wanted to ensure that I was giving people the right information and I had the tools. So I love that. I'm going to check that out. But I do want to go back to school and go through that. It might take me a long time, but I do want to do that for myself. You guys, hit the like button. Thank you so much. But yes, okay, so relationships, the last pillar. Relationships make up 80% of our happiness. So let's try our best to cultivate those. If it can't be with family, we make it with friends. If, you know, make sure those significant other romantic relationships, we didn't really get into that. Make sure you set your boundaries. That level of respect has to be there every step of the way. But you guys, do not forget to subscribe. Don't forget to give this video a thumbs up. If you guys need one-on-one coaching, if you guys are interested, if you guys are interested in the 555 transformation, we went through each pillar today, but we didn't even hit a lot of the nitty-gritty that we go through in the coaching program. We have some morning motivators who are in the program now. Once it's done, I'm going to have them come on if they want and share their experience. Okay, so you guys can hear if they want to, or you guys can read the reviews on their experience and things like that. So I hope you guys have a beautiful, beautiful, blessed weekend. You guys get some rest, enjoy. It's warming up outside. You know, link up with friends, go have a bite to eat, enjoy your life. I love you guys so, so, so much. Happy Friday and have a wonderful weekend. And I'll see you guys on Monday. Bye, y'all.